Okay, I'm reading from Philippians 3, 7 through 14. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen. You may be seated. Let's pray. God, I just pray. Give us a deeper understanding and a deeper trust. Deeper understanding that joy is found in you, lasting joy. And to pray, I pray for that faith to walk in it. In the name of Jesus, amen. So if you haven't figured out this week for Advent, we celebrate joy. It's interesting because each week there's a different theme. And there's conflicting. If you look at one, it's peace, one's prophecy, but we're doing joy. And I think in this world where there's an increasing people being depressed and joy is fleeting, we need to be sharing with others the joy we have in following Jesus. So is this joy of following Jesus a temporary feeling of pleasure or happiness caused by something good? Or is it a joy that perseveres in difficult times? Is it a lasting joy or a temporary joy? Because we live in a culture that's constantly seeking joy, whether by buying something you desperately desire or need, or by trying to find joy in being in love. But here's the thing. Does that joy last? Let's say you buy something you really desire. Does that joy last? Or being in love. It ebbs and flows. But I think for us, it needs to be different. And so in that Christian walk for us, there are moments of great joy, but it also has trials and tribulations. But we're told in those trials and tribulations, we're supposed to have great joy. In James chapter 1, 2 through 4, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance will have a chance to grow. Let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." I would say in that time of trial and tribulation, we have to be intentional because it doesn't come natural. Our flesh is usually freaking out because we want to be in control. But our joy has to be in Jesus. And that belief that God is growing our faith, it is for our good. And this faith, again, doesn't come easily. It only grows when we're forced to either trust God or trust ourselves. And trusting ourselves, that needing to be in control, produces a lot of anxiety. Because when we lean on our own strength, we're not God. And there's that point that we, again, choosing to go, okay, God, I trust that you're sovereign. I trust you're working for good. It has to be intentional. And I think it's essential for us to have that lasting joy. Do we have to have hope? And that hope, again, that Jesus is working it for good. It doesn't say it's ever good, but he says he works it for good. And there has to be the hope that in the end, there is no more suffering, there is no more pain, there is no more death. Our hope has to be in heaven. This will end. Our struggles will end. But there's a hope there. Because in that hope, we can find lasting joy. But not in the midst of our struggles. It, again, has to be a decision. So the scripture reading for today, we read about Apostle Paul finding great joy in knowing Jesus. And his joy was not fleeting, for he said, what he lost does not compare to knowing Jesus. For what he lost was like rubbish. Okay, what did he lose? Okay, he had it going on. I mean, he came from the tribe of Benjamin, which had better status. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He said even to the law, he had kept it. So in our culture, he was someone very important. And he considers rubbish comparing knowing and following Jesus. He reminds me what Jesus described as a person in Matthew 13:44-46. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again, sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for a choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. Does that not sound like Paul? That he found this treasure. And that treasure didn't compare to anything else. It was his joy. So, going to the scripture reading in Philippians 3, we'll start at verse 9. Paul said, I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. Did you hear what Paul was saying? So he found joy in not living by the law. What does the law do? It shows us that we're a sinner. We can't measure up to it. But there's a rejoice in the gospel in terms of he is saved by what Jesus did on the cross. His sins are forgiven. Therefore, if his sins are forgiven, he's right before God. Because he knew where the law led. And Paul rejoiced in the goodness of God, again, that we can't save ourselves, but it's only through the grace, God's grace, through faith in Jesus, which leads into, I love how the Bible is connected. The scripture is living and active, and there's always themes that run through it. And in Ephesians 2:8-9, it addresses this whole thing of grace and faith. For it says, Paul wrote this, for by grace you've been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is a gift from God, not of works, that no one should boast. Do we find joy in God's undeserved favor that saves us? Paul writes to the Galatians about this wanting to earn their righteousness, wanting to deny grace. And so in Galatians 5:4, he says, for if you're trying to make yourself right with God by keeping the law, you've been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. Paul realized there was lasting joy in knowing that he was righteous because of what Jesus did, not what he did. Okay, when we're trying to earn our righteousness, there's not a lot of joy. It's a lot of work. And do you ever measure up in your works to go, yeah, I deserve heaven? No, because we're convicted of our sin. So continuing in verse 10 of Philippians 3, Paul writes, I want to know Christ and experience his mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. When I read this, it's like Paul wants to know Jesus more and more. He's never content with his knowledge of who Jesus is. And he wants that greater intimacy with him. I mean, you look at Paul. Paul understood Jesus in ways that we don't. I mean, he went to heaven. He heard words that he could not express. And yet, he's going, I want to know him more. And he knew that that abiding relationship with Jesus was essential. Which reminds me of John 15, 4 through 5. There's that importance that we need to abide in Jesus daily. John wrote, or Jesus said this, abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him is he that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Do you notice that there's not a confidence in self? It's a confidence in Jesus. And Paul's confidence wasn't, again, it wasn't in himself. It's the same for us. But again, by what Jesus did, who Jesus is, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that's where our confidence needs to be. Paul alludes to this, that his confidence is in himself, in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. He writes, brothers, when I came to you, I did not come with superiority speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Do you understand what he's saying? It's like his confidence is not in himself. It's so for us too. Because when our confidence is in us, where's our faith? It's in us. There's no joy to be found there. I think it reminds me of Zechariah 4, 6, where it says, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. How often we want to be in control. There's no peace there. There's no joy there. I get it. There's a battle. I battle it. But there comes that point in that battling, where am I going to, so to speak, fix my eyes? Where am I? And that battle can be constant. But go back. What we just started with, the first scripture was in James. Consider it a joy, my brother, when you encounter various trials for the growing of our faith. He never said it was going to be easy. Continuing in verse 10, it says that Paul desires to experience the mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead. What is he talking about here? In Romans 6, 10 through 11, it tells us that Jesus made us alive and thus free from the power of sin. Through his death, we are given the grace to live a new life in God. I'm going to read the verse here. When Christ died, he died for sin once and for all. And now he is alive, and he lives only for God. In the same way, you must think of yourself as dead to the power of sin, but Christ Jesus has given life to you, and you live for God. He's talking about that new life in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17 explains it well. Therefore, anyone is in Jesus Christ, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith as Savior, he is a new creature, born and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition, have passed away. And behold, new things have come, because spiritual awakening brings new life. Once we were dead, now we're alive in Jesus. I think Paul, again, talks about this new life in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And now the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. That true joy that we're looking for, that we desire, is found dying to self and following Jesus, for he's the one who transforms us through the power of the Holy Spirit. That dying to self is never fun. Actually, my thesis was, the title was Dying to Self, A Journey of Grace and Suffering. And in that time, even in graduate school, there's a point where I could have died because of my Crohn's disease. It was a very trying time. I actually had a roommate that would get upset with me because I was the only one who would confront him, and so he'd take his 45 Magnum and dry fire it in his room. I slept with a baseball bat underneath my bed. But in that time, I could look, at the time I was like, God, what are you doing? But later back, I could see how he grew my faith. And there was that point, that crucifying to self. And none of us want to die. We want to be in control. But there's no joy in that. Paul continues in verse 10 by saying, he wants to suffer with Jesus and share in his death. Okay, if you like to suffer, please see me after the service, because there's a mental disorder for that. No one likes suffering. We all want to live. We all want life to go the way we want, which is doesn't involve suffering. So what is Paul saying here? I feel my explanation will scratch the surface there, because what Paul is describing here. But I wanted to start with, we're going to suffer. And Jesus says this in John 15:18-20. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you're not of the world, since I chose you out of the world therefore hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than its master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my words, they will keep yours also. So, if Jesus suffered and was persecuted by the religious leaders of that time, then if we follow him, should it be any different? I think for America, because we've had it so little persecution, I think we're starting to see the clouds on the horizon, and there's definitely some persecution. But we're the exception in the world. You read about what's going on throughout the world, Nigeria, just plain Africa, where they're hunted down, their villages are destroyed, they lose everything, they go hide in the jungle, let alone Asia. It's pretty well everywhere else. The suffering that Jesus is calling us to, you see this in the early church too. Because the apostles rejoiced when they were whipped, when they were persecuted. Being worthy to suffer for Jesus, do we have that mentality? I'd be the first to go, I need work on that. Because when there's injustice, I want to react. versus praying for them and going, God, please let your will be done in my life. If you want me to be persecuted, let me be persecuted. If you want me to suffer, let me be suffered. Let me suffer. And I want to say that willingness to suffer for him can only happen if you love him. Because I want to say suffering doesn't make sense. And yet we're called, if we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to suffer. 2 Timothy 3:12, Paul wrote, anyone who wants to live as God desires in Jesus Christ will be persecuted. So why does God allow persecution? It's his way of death to self that persecution brings, which helps us to live for Jesus and not for ourselves. Again, you're not going to want it. But there's an importance of dying to self. John 12:24-25. I tell you the truth, unless the kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their lives in this world will lose it, and those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. There is a true joy in dying to self and living for Jesus. And the more we live for Jesus, the more there is joy in knowing him. So Paul continues in Philippians 3, talking about his pursuit of Jesus in verse 12. It says, I do not mean that I am already as God wants me to be. I have not reached that goal, but I continue trying to reach it and make it mine. Christ wants me to do that, which is the reason he made me for this. That joy I think we're looking for in knowing and living for Jesus is not found in complacent pursuit of him, but it's found in a passionate love to live for God. This is so evident in Paul's life by his willingness to suffer for the gospel. I mean, if you read the scripture, you can see there's times he said he despaired. He trembled. But his love for Jesus was greater than what he wanted. And I pray that each of us would have that kind of love and commitment to Jesus. And lastly, Paul expresses his joy and desire to run the race in order to receive a heavenly prize of heaven. Verses 13 and 14 says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive a heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Heaven is our prize. That is our hope. And I love 2 Timothy because Paul, it's his last letter to the church because he knew he was going to die. And so in 2 Timothy 4:6, he says, as for me, my life has been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. I love how Paul is saying, I ran the race. I fought the good fight. I kept the faith. Our pursuit of Jesus is not about perfection, but it is keeping the faith. And there's a joy in walking with him that is not found anywhere else. We need to remind ourselves of that. And we need to remember, to have lasting joy, we need to look forward and have hope in what has been promised, heaven, again. For this world is always trying to discourage us. Give it up. It's not worth it. Will God come through? There's only the joy we're looking for is in faith and hope. Not in the present. I pray we will never lose our joy in following Jesus. And that is not, you cannot find that joy living moment by moment. You have to look forward. Because there's times that are really difficult. We cannot live by what we see and what we feel. We have to live by faith. If you want that joy, that lasting joy that he's calling us to. And like Paul, I pray that we would persevere in following Jesus and place our hope in who God is, which will bring us lasting joy. Amen.